We had Alex Anthopoulos on with us yesterday, and we're talking about his new deal. He's got a new title in Atlanta, and of course we brought up his good buddy John Gibbons, who now has a new deal with the Atlanta Braves. He is now a scout with the Braves, and you know him as the longtime manager here in Toronto. We've caught up with him many times, but we've been waiting to see the next step in his career. Where is he going to end up? And I think he's picked a pretty good spot. The Braves are a really good team, and he's back in the bigs. We all knew it would happen. It was just a matter of time, and joining us now back on Overdrive here is John Gibbons. John, congrats on the new gig.
Hey, guys. Hey, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm anxious to get back into baseball. You know, it was a long year off. Enjoyed it, though. Actually needed it. But, yeah, it's time to get back to, you know, the grind of it all. So, but, yeah, I'm fortunate, you know, the Braves hired me. But I know some pretty good people over there. You guys know that.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, man. It's who you know sometimes, right?
Oh, it's everything. I found out. You find out that more and more. It's, yeah, you got to have a sponsor. Somebody's got to like you. Yeah, it's a relationship business. Most everything is, though, in a lot of ways.
Right.
So what does your new gig entail, Gibby? I mean, you just scouting, traveling around. How's it looking?
That's a great question. I'm not sure I know.
Just make sure the check's cash.
Yeah. Maybe it's one of those jobs they give it to somebody, and but they really don't know what to do with them, but they just put a title on them. I don't know. Now, you know what they... you know, at least until the draft, the June amateur draft, I'm going to go around and see players that they really like, that, you know, they have a chance to take maybe in some of the top rounds. Over the weekend, I was in North Carolina checking out a catcher. So I'll probably do some of those kind of things. And then, you know, once the draft's over, you know, who knows? I'm sure they'll find something for me to do. But I always, you know, I've always, you know, as long as I've been in the game, I've always enjoyed evaluating players. And that's kind of what we do as coaches.
Well,
so it's almost perfect right now.
Well, Alex, yesterday he had praise for your ability to evaluate talent and said a lot of times you had an opinion on a player and a lot of times you were bang on. How do you get to that point and how does that operation work where you look at a player and, not too many times you miss on it?
Well, I don't know if it's I didn't miss on many, that's for sure. You know that. Really, the beauty of baseball and all phases of it, everybody's got their own ideas or opinions on how things should be done, who can play and who can't. Now, you know, I think that's one of the things that makes baseball so great. But we all see things differently, you know. And I like certain things maybe in a player that somebody else wouldn't, you know. And I think that maybe there's certain things that help a team win, and the other person might not agree. You know, maybe a lesser player might be able to do something to help a team win more than that. A guy that can do a little bit of everything, and you know he's kind of a pain in the ass, that kind of thing. So I don't know, but nobody's ever right all the time. You know, baseball is a crapshoot in a lot of ways in every phase of it. But it's like anything else too. You get a good reputation, it sticks with you. You get a bad reputation, it sticks with you too.
You're in the game long enough. Did you ever have one massive miss where you thought a guy was going to be an absolute stud and just turned out to be a dud? I'm sure you don't want to mention names, but...
No, oh, yeah, there's no doubt that, especially when you first start out and you're new to the business and, you know, you see all these young 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and, you know, you haven't been in the big leagues in a while and you don't really have much to compare them to. And, you know, and I think it's important, too, that coaches, scouts, whoever, like players, you know? I mean, it's tough to make it, and the odds are against you, so, you know, it helps to have the people... calling the shots sometimes actually like you. So I look for the best in all of them, but I've missed so many times. You know, I mean, you look at the big high draft picks in baseball over the years, and you know, very few of them make it or have any length, or have very few long careers. So that just shows you, I mean, it's a tough business. It's tough to project. You know, that's one of the reasons too that, you know, they're starting to go a little heavier into analytics. Maybe they can narrow some things down a little bit, but you still have to, you know, you still got to have a little heart in there, you know, and that's where scouting and stuff like that comes in.
Well, you've been defined over your career, and specifically recently, as more of an old school guy. You know, do you take offense to that in terms of your approach to analytics? Like, you're not adverse to them or against them, I would assume.
No, you know, I think I got kind of a bad rap. I don't know where all that came from, but. you know, I'm proud to say I'm, you know, from the old school a little bit, you know, because I think it was, in a lot of ways, that's when baseball was at its best, you know. But you're crazy if you don't believe in numbers. But baseball's always believed in numbers. Now it's just taking everything to the next level, right? So, but you know, I mean, heck, we, as far as analytics, I guess you consider analytics. I mean, hell, we hit Batista as the leadoff hitter, Donaldson second. You know, we played Troy Glass a couple times as shortstop with the fly ball pitcher on the mound. So, I mean, we're always willing to do some things. So, I don't know. I kind of got that rap. I don't know if it's fair, but baseball, if you're really serious about it, baseball has always been about numbers. But now it's just taken to the extreme level.
With John Gibbons here on Overdrive, the reports were out there that you interviewed for that Houston job. Was that a job? I mean, if you went for the interview, I'm assuming you were willing to accept it, but that would have been a tough gig. I mean, is that one you were really prepared to take on, considering the scrutiny? I mean, I feel for Dusty Baker and what he's going through right now.
Well, yeah, I wanted that job bad. You know, it's not too far from home, but I actually thought I'd be the perfect guy. Went down there. Then I actually interviewed for Boston like a week later. Yeah, you know, there's going to be chaos. I get all that, and there's but I mean, I enjoy a little chaos, and I think one of my strengths is putting out some fires and holding things together and things like that. And you know, the best thing they can do down there, I know it's backfiring maybe a little bit, is, you know, the guy, everybody's got to come clean, say what happened, and move on. You know, you can't talk about it forever. You know, give the public their pound of flesh like they want, and then you know, then just move on, because the Canadian public and the American public, they'll forgive you when you come clean. You know, it's just when you don't, and when you beat around the bush, like these politicians. You know, when they don't come out and tell it like it is,
right?
You know, they get tired of them sooner or later, right?
Yeah, no, that's the truth. Yeah, with John Gibbons. Yeah. You know, I think Houston's expecting a lot of retribution throughout the regular season, and I'd be curious to get your take on how you've handled that in the past. You've never managed a team that was that hated, but I can recall, you know, when you guys would go down to Texas, or when they'd roll up here, or when you take on Baltimore, there was some real animosity between the Jays and those two teams. And would you have talks with your team, you know, before a series, where maybe you were anticipating some sort of retribution one way or the other? And if so, what kind of message would you send to prepare them for, you know, potential chaos if it leads to that?
Well, yeah, you're right. You know, and I've heard some comments been thrown around out there. And I tell you what, one thing I would say, you know, I can't speak for anybody in Houston, but, you know, I tell those guys on that team that, hey, we're going to protect each other. I know, you know, the world's against us. You know, this talk of this happening or that happening, but, you know, we're going to protect each other. We're going to protect the guys in this room. We're not just, you know, we're just not going to sit back and bend over and take it. That's for damn sure, you know. But the thing about baseball, you know, a lot of it is relates to the sign steal. You know, they've been trying to steal signs in baseball forever, right? You know, with guys on second base, if they can get the sign and relay it. But it's where you cross the line as you start to use technology and all that. So, but the way the teams would handle it forever was, if they thought you were stealing signs and tipping them, you know, the pitcher would drill you when you come to the
right.
plate, you know, and then,
right.
then it was usually over, right? Now they make a big stink about that, you know, and you get suspended for doing it. So it's like, well, so really, what can you do to stop them from doing it, you know? And then, if they don't get suspended, you know, really there's, you know, I don't know, but that's kind of the way baseball always handled things. But now that gets shot down pretty quick too, and you get penalized more for doing that than you get for being part of this, I guess.
Well, that's true. I mean, and that's what's going to happen. Like, none of these guys got suspended, you know, any of the big boys on Houston. But if they get hit, the pitchers are going to get suspended, the managers will get suspended, the teams will probably get fined. A lot of former and current players have been asked, if you knew what pitch was coming, you know, what would your numbers look like? I think Mike Trout said he'd hit like 700. Johnny Bench said he'd hit 900. What about you, John? If you were in the majors and you knew what pitch was coming every time, what kind of average do you think you would have throughout your career?
Well, I might have gone from a 100 hitter to about 150.
That's not bad. That's closing in on the Mendoza line.
Hey, that's progress, you know. No, there's no doubt if you know what's coming. But like I said, that's why, you know, guys have been trying to steal signs forever. And, you know, and some of them are pretty good at it, and it's happened against us. I know that in the past. But, you know, once technology comes in, gets involved, now we're crossing the line, and, you know, that's but, you know, also, you know what happened? You know, they introduced all this technology to the game of baseball through the replays, and there's cameras everywhere. You knew sooner or later something was going to happen. You know, something was going to go wrong. I mean, just kind of. Kind of the way it is.
Yeah, it's human nature. If it's accessible and people can find an edge, you know, chances are they're going to take advantage of it. And clearly it was happening. Yeah. And with John Gibbons, I want to ask you before we get you out of here, you know, Charlie Montoyo wasn't dealing with a lot of pressure last year. Everyone in Toronto knew they weren't going to win a ton of games. You've been on both ends of the spectrum. You know, high expectations, medium expectations, lower expectations. What kind of advice would you have for Charlie? Because he's dealing with much higher expectations this season in Toronto than he did a year ago.
Well, yeah. You know, one thing managers, you know, do, they put high expectations. Coaching staff, too, they put high expectations on themselves. But the reality is, you know, it's the talk of the year is, you know, that, hey, we're going to, you know, we're going to rebuild and or whatever, or we don't expect much, or the baseball world doesn't expect much. Yeah, it takes a little pressure off you, naturally, but you still, you don't lose that, well, we want to, you know, shock the world type attitude. But, you know, when you start adding better players and you get new, some of your youngsters start turning into really good players like they are, you know, naturally that turns up a little bit. And you know, Charlie's been through this the wars of this game a long, long time, you know, and he'll know how to handle that. But I don't think there's any coach in the game that really wants no expectations. You come in there, you know, and think, well, we like the job, and you want to get your brains kicked in every night, you know. You want to be playing for something, I always felt, you know what, I always wanted to be known as a manager who won something, not as a manager, who had a big league job, you know. I wanted to be known for that. So, you know, that goes with the territory, and you know, we've proved over there up in Toronto, you know, recently, good team, man, they'll show up strong. So they're starting to push that way again, it looks like.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. I mean, I think you guys in Atlanta are further ahead of the curve, I mean, to put it lightly, and we look forward to tracking your success with that team. And congrats on the new gig. We always appreciate you finding time for us, John. Hopefully we can do it again down the road.
Anytime. You guys just holler. Thank you very much.
We will. There he is, John Gibbons. Friend of the show and truly one of our favorite people.
Honest to God. The greatest.
He is such a beauty.
I want to sit and have a beer with him.
The best. Well, that's what everyone said. Everyone on the beat that covered him every day said there was no one better than Gibbons. He'd treat you with respect. He'd tell you what he'd think.
Yeah.
And he'd let his players do his thing. And
he had the comment to suck on that one, right?
Absolutely.
You're suck on that one for tonight, will you?
That was Tulowitzki. Remember, Tulowitzki was really struggling.
Yes.
And he went like 3-for-4.
Yeah.
And Gibby stepped up immediately.
You're suck on that one for tonight, will you?
You're being a media member. You're like, dude, this guy's been brutal for like a month. Yeah, he went 3-for-4, but...
You're suck on that one for tonight, will you?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Might have been a couple of sound bites in that interview we can drop down the road, too.